No, there it goes. Good morning. It's a blessing to be with you and have a chance to speak to you once again. I always look forward to being able to present a lesson to you from God's Word. And we have that such chance this morning as we've been singing praises to God and worshiping Him that now we get to study His Word. Before we get into our lesson, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Let's pray together. Oh Lord our God, we thank you for this day that you allowed us to wake up one more time. And especially on this day that we have the chance to worship you, if we have gathered around your table and thought about you sending your son to die for us, God, we thank you for that love. It inspires us to do things in your life, in our lives for you. And Father, we ask that you'll protect us, be with us as we go into this study from your word, that we'll take the things that we learn and we'll share them with others. And Father, we lift this prayer to you through your son, Jesus, our Savior. Amen. What are you doing, Elijah? God spoke to Elijah when he found him at one of his deepest moments. Elijah had been through a lot of different stuff in his past, and we're going to be looking at him a little bit more in depth. But at the end of the narratives that we have about Elijah, you see him in a cave. And you see him hiding away from somebody for the sake of his life. And God speaks to him and says, "What are you doing here, Elijah? After all these things that you've gone through, why is it that I find you in a cave? Hiding. Why is it that I find you here not doing the things I need you to do? Why are you not out in front of people like I need you? Why are you hiding away?" Elijah looks at him and says, "I've been very jealous for you, God." He said, "But the people, the Israelites, they've gone through and they've killed your prophets and they've done this and this and it's just me. I'm the only one that's left. I'm discouraged." And I can just see how God just keeps speaking to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And I want you to keep that in your mind. And I want to ask you, what are you doing here? So I have to ask myself, what are you doing here, Billy? What is your purpose here? What, are you living up to God's standards? Are you doing the things that you need to do? Everywhere you go in life, is it for God? So we're going to look at Elijah and see some of the things that he did and how he got from point A to point B. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. If you look at the chapter beforehand, you see that a new king is presented. His name is Ahab. Ahab did things that are very wicked in the sight of God. He went and he turned away from the God that created the heavens and the earth. The one that led Israel all the way through the wilderness and all through its travelings, that God protected them and did so much, but yet you find Ahab lifting up altars to these unknown gods, lifting up altars to Baal and Asherah, the female version. And you see him worshiping something of this world. You see him worshiping a god that's supposed to be in charge of the rain. A lot of pictures were depicted of Baal, and it shows him throwing lightning down to the earth. And Ahab said, "This is the god that we're now going to serve. We're not going to serve the god of Israel, but we're going to serve the Baal. We're going to serve the Asherah." And so you see that he did things more wickedly than anybody that was present before him. And you see the way that he was living, the things that he did, and he was trying to lead people over into that mindset. And we get to chapter 17, and this is how it starts off. "Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab." And I want to stop here for a second and first address Elijah. I love the way that the Hebrew language works because it's very graphic in the way it describes things. You look at the words and it's very strong language. And a lot of names have different meanings. Before I tell you about the meaning of Elijah, and if you do any kind of search in Hebrew, you find out that a lot of names have different meanings. I also want to be honest with you this morning that my name is actually not Billy. My name is Seth William Camp. And yes, Bill is short for William, but that is not how I was called Billy. My brother and I were in a thrift store, and he found a shirt that on the front, all it said was Billy. He thought it was the most hilarious thing that he ever saw, to see a shirt that said Billy. And he looks at me and said, "Oh, you're going to be Billy." I said, "Okay, Shane, whatever." Well, it's been about 6, 7, 8 years, and I stand before you as Billy. But originally, my name is Seth. And I decided to look up what the name Seth actually meant in Hebrew, because you find it in Genesis chapter 3. I wish that I didn't, because my mom now makes fun of me about this, because I looked up what Seth means. It can be pronounced Seth, Sheth. It sounds similar to another word which means appointed. But it also has another word to describe it. It also means foundation. It also means foundation of the body. I found out the foundation of the body is not actually the feet. It's the backside of somebody, the thing that you're sitting on right now. That is what Seth means in Hebrew. And so feel free to make fun of me about that, but that is why I'm going to call myself Billy in front of you. So names have a lot of different meanings. And you get to the name of Elijah, and his has a little bit more impact than Seth does. You look at the name Elijah, and it means, my Lord is God, or my God is God. It has some strong meaning to it. Elijah stands up, and he says, just within my name, that God is God. He is powerful. And you see through the narrative and a couple of stories we're going to look at. And I ask you this morning, are you holding fast to your name? Yeah, I know that we label ourselves as Christians, and that is somebody that is Christ-like. But it goes deeper beyond just calling yourself a Christian. We were made in the image of God. He reached down and He formed man. He built woman from a rib. You see what He put into us. He breathed the breath of life into us. And He says, you are my creation. And behold, it is very good. It goes beyond just labeling as Christian. We are made in God's image. We carry Him wherever we go. And by our actions, the things that we do, we profess that there is a God. People in this world may look and say, there is no God. The psalmist says, the fool says, there is no God. But you look at the apologetics, and you see how man, how creation proclaims the excellencies of God. And you can read through the Psalms and you see how powerful that is. That within each one of us, we proclaim God. Or we should. If you turn to Titus chapter 1, verse 16. As Paul's speaking to Titus, this is the words that he presents to him. He says, they profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works. They're detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. He said, these people, they'll claim me with their mouth, and they'll say, yeah, I'm of God. I'm a Christian. I'm this. I go to worship. I do these kind of things. But he says their actions are far from it. So this morning as we're looking, do you hold fast to what you were created to be, that you proclaim the excellencies of God? Are you holding to the fact that God is God, same as Elijah's name meant? But your life should show that. In life, we have many Christian atheists. People that profess God, but by their actions, they act like there is no God. Because they don't make a change in their life. So let's look at Elijah and see if he really holds to his name, which says that God is God. My God is He. Let's see if he really holds to that. Because he comes before Ahab. The God he's worshiping the God of this world. He's worshiping Baal and the Asherah, and Elijah comes before him, a messenger of God, and he stands before him and says, there's going to be no rain. The rain's going to be shut off. And listen to his wording in verse 2. Starting in verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. He said, the God that I believe in, the one that I stand for, He is God, and that's the one I profess to you. And I'm telling you, in His name, there's not going to be any rain. And we see that there was no rain for 2.5 years. That it was cut off. And then you start reading that God protected Elijah. But you find him coming to a widow. And it's one of the funny stories. Elijah just cracks me up in some of the things that he does. Because he comes to this widow. And he says, can you get me something to drink? Now remember, they're in a drought. They haven't had any rain. And he comes to her and says, can you get me something to drink? So she starts walking off. And he kind of yells at her. She's walking off. And he says, oh, by the way, can you get me a little food too? And she turns around. And she is so upset. She is so mad. It's very strong what she says. And she pretty much takes the Lord's name in vain. She said, by the God that you worship, said, I was gathering sticks here so that I can go and build a fire, so that I can make some bread, just a little bit that I have for me and my son, and then I was going to die. And you're asking for that? And Elijah says, yeah, that's the bread that I want. He said, you go and do what you were going to, but give me a little bit first. You can just imagine, she is highly upset by this. That was going to be just a little bit of food she was going to get. And you say, Elijah, what are you doing here? What's your point of taking this food from her that it was the last that she had? Elijah, what are you doing here? And so he goes on and he tells her, the same pot of oil and flour that you have, it won't go away. It'll keep refilling itself until rain comes again. He was making a point. And later on, she comes up to him again, and her son is sick, and it dies. She comes up to Elijah and says, you know, why are you doing this to me? Please help my son. And he goes in, and he lays on top of the child three times, and he prays to God, and the child is alive. And so he does these two things for this one widow. And listen to what the verses say in verse 24. And the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. One of the first things that we need to do when we're professing that God is God, showing people that we are created in His image, is that we show love. That we reach out and help the people that are in need. We love and we know love because God first loved us. 1 John chapter 3. We see these things because God has done so much in our lives that He was willing to send His Son to die for us, that should help us to be motivated to go and help people of this world. To help them through whatever situation it is in life and to build them up. And you have here a widow that was struggling where she was going to get her very last meal. And how she was going to do it. And Elijah says, let me show you my God. For He truly is God. So we reach out to people today and we show them the love that we have. We let them into our family, the family of God, and we bring them in closer. And we help them through situations in life because the world is suffering and we build them up. And so everywhere that we go in life, and the people that we talk to, we should make it a point to bring them over to God. We should make it a point to show them love and care. And so as you're going through life, ask yourself, what am I doing here? Am I doing the right things for God when it comes to my relationship with people? When you keep reading, you find out that Elijah is supposed to show himself to Ahab. Now, it's been a little bit of time. It's been a couple of years since he came before Ahab. Ahab, king of Israel, is a little upset at this moment that no rain has been there. And listen to the language that he says in verse 17 of chapter 18. 1 Kings 18, verse 17. And when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is it you, you troubler of Israel? Oh, great. Here's Elijah, the one that stopped the rain. So good to see you. He's highly upset. So Elijah just kind of gives it back to him. Listen to what he says. And he answered, I've not troubled Israel, but you have. You and your father's house, because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all of Israel to meet at Mount Carmel. And the 400 prophets of Baal, the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. He said, yeah, you go ahead. Call me the trouble of Israel, but you know what? You're the one that has abandoned God. You're the one that hasn't been professing that God is God. That the one that created the heavens and the earth, that's not the one you're serving. So you go and get your followers. The followers of these fake gods. And let's see who really is the true God. So he brings them to Mount Carmel. And you're familiar with this story. And they go and they prepare two different sacrifices. The prophets go up and they're on top of this mountain here. They're probably about midway. And they go and they get a bull and they lay it. And they're supposed to pray to this God that's supposed to strike down fire. And remember the pictures of him throwing down lightning. And he's also the rain God, which no rain has come for years. And so it's just showing one after the other that the God they serve is not truly the God. And I love some of the language Elijah uses. He says, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? Why would you say, you know, if the God of Israel is the true God, then worship him. But then you go and worship Baal. And he said, you're going between one or the other. He said, why are you not just on fire for God or just completely turn your back? You're going between one opinion and the other. And you look in Revelation chapter 3 and we have the lukewarm Christian. Anybody that knows me knows that I love coffee. As soon as Miss Patsy's smiling, I know Freddie is too, because when they walk in the office, they don't see me in the back office. They just smell the coffee and they say, Billy is here. I love coffee. But I hate to have a cup of coffee that sits out for a while and I go and pick it up. It's one of the most discouraging things to me. I can't stand a lukewarm cup of coffee. I would rather it be really hot or have it over ice. But that middle ground, no, I can't stand it. I don't like it. So I can relate to that when he says, I'll spew it out of my mouth, and I don't do that in my office when I leave coffee out. But I am upset when I leave a cup of coffee and I don't address it. In the same situation, God says, I want you to either be on fire for me or say, turn your whole back. He said, don't go limping between two different opinions. People of this world, they say, you know, oh, I love God, but then their actions don't show it. They go and they start worshiping the God of this world, and they turn their lives away from the true God, and they don't actually profess God as Lord. And they go and they start sowing to the flesh, and they start living in the world by their own passions, and they start worshiping this false God. The false God that doesn't profit anything. This false God that's supposed to give them things of this world. And that's what they were struggling with here. This God that they worship was supposed to bring rain, and it hadn't for years. The God they were supposed to worship was supposed to bring fire, and we have here in the story that when they started praying all day long, they started cutting themselves, they started jumping around. And Elijah makes fun of them, and he says, it's not going to happen. And so at the end of the day, their God doesn't shine through. In verse 29 of 18, he says, and the midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. People who set themselves in the world today, they get nothing from it. There's no fruit that we can have from the world today. There's no promise there. But when you compare it to God, God is so much better because you have Elijah, and he goes and he prepares the offering. He pours 12 jars of water all over it, and he digs a trench around that water's even filled up, and he sits down and he prays one prayer. He doesn't jump around all day. He doesn't cut himself. He prays one prayer, and fire comes down and consumes it all. You say, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he says, I'm showing that the God I worship is powerful, and he's willing to help his children. He's willing to provide for them. And so you see him reach down. You see him shine through. And so Elijah goes and he kills all the prophets of Baal and Asherah. And he goes up to the head of Mount Carmel. Says he goes all the way to the top. And he tells King Ahab, he said, you go eat and drink before I hear rain coming. So he goes to the very tip top. And he sits down and he prays. And he puts his head in between his knees is what the scriptures say. And he prays. And he tells his servant, he says, go to the top and look. Servant says, I don't see anything. He tells him, go again. He tells him seven times. The seventh time he says, I see a cloud in the distance about the size of a man's palm. He kind of holds it up. He says, it's about that big. And Elijah says, all right, you go tell Ahab, rain's coming. He better go. So he goes on down the mountain. He meets him there at Mount Carmel, that kind of halfway point. And Ahab jumps in his chariot and he starts taking off. And I love this story here because it's very unique because it says the word of the Lord came upon Elijah. Elijah kind of wrapped himself up in his cloak like the rain's coming, and he takes off down the mountain. All right, Ahab's already in his chariot halfway down. He's almost to the town. It says that Elijah outran him and beat him to Jezreel. All right, he was the first flash. You see that in the scripture, that he was the first one there, that the hand of the Lord came on. It's a very unique story. But you see that he has gone through all these kind of things. He helped the widow in the jar of food that she had there, that it kept replenishing itself for years. He calls fire down. And he's going through all these mighty things. And he's showing that the God that I worship is truly the God. But then we find him in chapter 19. And Jezebel, which is Ahab's wife, is very wicked. And this is the letter that she sends to Elijah. This is the word that he gets. In verse 2 of chapter 19. Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of the one by this time tomorrow. I'm going to kill you. You kill all of my prophets. You kill all the ones that I worship. I'm going to take your life. And you would think at this moment, everything that God has done in his life, that he'd be able to stand up and say, come on with it. But you find him running away. And you find him discouraged and turned away from God. That he goes and he hides in this one cave. And it says that he goes to Mount Horeb, which is where Moses saw the burning bush. And so you find Elijah back there, and God asks him, Elijah, what are you doing here? You can ask him that through all the stories. You see that he's doing something for God. He's showing the love of God. He's showing the power of God. Yet you find him in the cave, and God asks him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He says, I've been jealous for you, God. I've been doing all these kind of things, but your people are against me, and I'm the only one that's left. So God causes this great earthquake to come, and rocks are falling, and he causes fire to come down, and he keeps showing all these kind of things, but it says that God was not there. But the still small voice comes to Elijah. And it says that he puts his cloak over his head and he goes to the mountain, to the edge of the cave. And that's where the last time you have God speaks to him saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah's been doing all these mighty things for God, yet he missed the still small voice. In our lives today, that we have that still small voice that is telling us constantly to come to God, but yet we deny it at times. But it can encourage us. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I like the study of what encouragement really is. The base word of it means to call beside. Barnabas was called the encourager. He was beside people. The Spirit of God is called the advocate or the helper or the one that's called beside. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. He says God can be called beside us. But the thing is, in our lives that we turn away from him, if you go back to Titus 1 verse 16, it says they profess God with their mouth, but their actions are far from it. That we say that we're a Christian, we say that we do these things, but our life is not combined with God. We don't feel that presence next to us, the called beside. We're not encouraged by him. And it's like Elijah. Times we feel good in our lives, and other times we feel distant from him. And we can get discouraged, and we can be brought down. But we go back to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 when he says, I know how to get through any situation in life. He said, I know how to get through them all. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is in God that we can have encouragement. It's in God that we can get through these situations. But we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing here? And what are we doing for God? So I ask you this morning, what are you doing? Where have you been with your actions? Are you proclaiming the excellences of God in everything that you do? Are you reaching out and showing your love to the love of God to people of this world that are suffering? Are you reaching out and showing people the power of God and that He is so much better than anything of this world? Are you hiding and not doing anything for Him? Are you stagnant? Are you complacent with your Christianity and you're not doing anything for God? And you're hiding in a cave? God's not done working with you, and He wants you to do more for Him. But you have to get out and you have to show His love. It's by our words and our deeds. God has done so much for us. Now let's reach out and do more for Him. So I ask you the same question that God asked Elijah. What are you doing here? Are you doing the things for God? Are you doing the things for yourself or the God of this world? Where is your reliance today? If you haven't fully committed yourself to God, you have the chance to do it. That you can worship Him as the Lord, He is God, and you confess that He is the Lord, is God, and you can follow through with the commandments and the things that He has required of us, and you can have your sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism, and you can give your life fully to Him and profess, my God is God. But maybe you've been discouraged. Maybe something has brought you down. We're here to pray for you. We're here to help you through whatever situation it is, but it takes us knowing where you're at. And so we ask you this morning, what are you doing? Are you